Father James was going through the mail one day after his powerful sermon on the Pharisaic life of some of his parishioners on the previous Sunday. Drawing a single sheet of paper from an envelope, he found written on it just one word, fool. The next Sunday at Mass, he announced, "I have known many people who have written letters and forgot to sign their names. But this week I received a letter from someone who signed his name and forgot to write a letter." Yes, my friends, Jewish people considered the written law or Torah, that is, the first five books of the Bible, and the oral law, that is, clarifications of and addictions to the Mosaic law given by scribes from the 5th century BC, as equally holy and binding. These oral laws were known in Jesus' time as the tradition of the elders. The noble intention of the scribes who formulated these traditions was to purify the people in their daily lives and thus make them holy as their God is holy. In spite of these noble intentions, by the time of Jesus, their religion being reduced to the exact performance of external rituals only. That's why the scribes and Pharisees were scandalized by the revolutionary teaching of Jesus. The supreme governing body of Judaism, that is the Sanhedrin, sent from Jerusalem as observers to assess Jesus' claims, miracles, violations of traditions, and controversial teachings. A few of the local Pharisees accompanied the experts and started questioning Jesus when they noticed that Jesus' disciples had omitted the ritual cleansing of hands before a party meal. Pious Jews began to adopt that habit of the principle of Exodus chapter 19, verse 6 says, "You are a priestly kingdom and a holy nation." Ritual washing was required of the priests, and gradually it became the tradition of the elders. But in Jesus' day, the Jews ignored the spirit of these traditions and practiced them simply as an essential judicial and ritual requisite. The question, "Why do your disciples not wash their hands before eating?" persisted. In response to the Sanhedrin's public criticism, Jesus stands in the prophetic tradition by citing Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13. He says, "These people pay me lip service, but their heart is far from me. Empty is the reverence they do me, because they teach as dogmas mere human precepts." The Pharisees placed emphasis not on building a relationship with God and their fellow human beings, but on checking out their own external behavior. Jesus was not criticizing rituals given in the Mosaic law, but to neglect what was far more important, the love of God and the care of one's fellow human beings. As illustrations of the evils which really make a person sinful and alienate him from God, Jesus mentions six evil acts: practices of sexual immorality, thefts, murders, adultery, acts of coveting or lust, and wickedness in general. Then he adds a checklist of six vices or sins of the heart: deceit, shamelessness, immodesty, jealousy or envy, slander, pride, and folly. The point is clear. Righteousness is not what we do on the outside, but who we are on the inside. Righteousness is not about the hand, it is about the heart. Acts of adultery, murder, and unkindness come from within, from hearts that are adulterous, murderous, and unkind. For Jesus, a community that is actively worshiping God but bases its behavior solely on precepts and doctrines fails to give him true worship. But a community integrally connected to God through righteous, just, and loving relationships offers him true active worship and deepens its union with him. What makes a person holy are the attitudes and actions that Paul says in Galatians chapter 5 verses 22 to 23 list as the fruits of the Spirit, that is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So what we learn from this Sunday readings, that we need to keep the spirit of the church laws and practices. For example, our Sunday obligation is to offer our lives to God, to ask His pardon for our sins, to thank God for His blessings, to present our needs before Him, and to receive divine life and strength from Him in receiving Holy Communion. Our daily family prayers are meant to thank God for His blessings, to present the family needs before God, to ask pardon for all our sins, and to maintain the spirit of unity and love in the family. Secondly, let us become hearers and doers of God's word, as St. James instructs us. He says, let us ask ourselves how the Sunday or daily readings are affecting or changing our lives. That will show us whether we are being attentive listeners to and doers of God's word.